So this is called Fit as a Fiddle Plus. This is where we want you to be fit in all areas of your life. So we get the opportunity to interview somebody new every single month. And so I want to start off by sharing with everyone where I am. I am actually coming to you from the Columbus, Ohio area. I'm just a little bit on the southeast corner of Columbus, Ohio in a little city called Canal Winchester. And so we have Allison Jeffries with us today. My co-host and co-mod has not jumped on yet. I've got my eye open for her to come onto the call, and I'll bring her up as soon as she does. We have Robin in the audience already, and Robin says that she is from Michigan. So welcome. And Allison, where are you coming to us from?
I am coming from the great country of Texas, just outside of Dallas, about an hour.
The great country of Texas. I love that. I believe that. Yes, that's amazing. So we're going to talk to Alice Jeffries tonight. And again, our topics are all different. And just so you know, I kind of have my interview folks here in front of me on a little chart. And we've had everything unimaginable, all different types of health and wellness, financial health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual wealth. And tonight we're going to talk to Allison about her best-selling book and also what she's currently up to. Anyway, she is the author of the Amazon best-selling book, A Woman's Guide to Surviving Divorce, and a life recreation coach for women. So instead of being a divorce coach, she is a life recreation coach. I love that. And again, your book published, she was just telling me, in July of 2019. But as a coach, Allison helps professionally successful women find balance by showing them how to make choices that enable them to live more personally fulfilling lives. Allison earned her degree in psychology from the College of William and Mary before embarking on a 30-plus year corporate career working for multiple Fortune 100 companies in the financial industry. Oh, so we might be able to talk about financial health too. Allison started her business, Allison Jeffries Coaching, in 2019, fulfilling her heartfelt passion to help make the world a better place, one woman at a time. She has two grown sons, three grandsons. You're not old enough to be grandma. Three grandsons, two granddaughters. She is an avid horse lover. That's why you look so young. And lives on a 60-acre horse ranch in Texas with the love of her life and their six horses. Yeah, no wonder you look so young. Yeah, you're out there. You're out there working those
every
horses.
Day.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I'm a horse girl too. I grew up out on the back of a dairy farm, actually, but had horses. And so all through school, I would show horses, that sort of thing. Anyway, I get it. It's a lot of fun and it does become a passion. So Allison, tell us a little bit about your backstory. How did you get to where you are today? I mean, what was the early version of you?
You know, and that's a great question, because for each and every one of us, we all carry two stories in our minds as women. One is the story that if we're mad at ourselves or not feeling good about the world can be our tear-jerking story about everything that went wrong, how none of it was ever our fault, and it just was tremendously not good. And then we have the other story. And somewhere along the way, I realized that I really liked the other story better. So while my life has not been a bed of roses, nor has it been less than bumpy, in the end, I love where I ended up. And I have been blessed to have made a million mistakes, which I learned from along the way. Part of the blessing, I learn. I'm one of those people, I make a lot of mistakes, but I try to learn from them. Some of those mistakes were my first and my second marriage, which ended in my first and my second divorce. And that was when in my 40s, I said, wait a minute, this is not the way my life was supposed to go. And I needed to find me. I needed to find that place where I could be happy and have my dreams fulfilled. And so I went on a 10-year journey to find myself. And it comical in that I started as the girl that told a friend one day, oh, don't worry about me after I got my divorce. No big deal. I'll be remarried within 2 years. Well, that was kind of dumb because I had done that once and it didn't work out real well in the end. So fortunately for me, I was not able to make that mistake a second time, and I refrained from making it and stayed on my own and worked on me. And I worked for a bank at the time, and you cannot work on your computer when you're traveling. So I took a little iPad and I was typing away my notes, and which is what became my book. And amazingly, every woman that sat near me, and I traveled 2 to 3 times round trips a week, sat around me and shared their stories, their advice, their guidance, their love, their support. Nameless thousands of women all went into what became my book, which is the common story of what happens when women's marriages fail. It's not my story. It's that collective story that as women, they're just those common experiences and common threads. And at the time I was working for a women's financial education platform. And so we really did a lot of digging into how women make choices and decisions and, you know, how we operate and manage our money and do all of these things. And what I realized is I had no idea how to operate as a woman. Even though I'd been doing it at that point for 40 to 45 years, I had no idea, because we've grown up in this world where we can be anything we want to be. We can do anything we want to do. And so there's no boundaries. There's no guidelines. There's no roadmap.
There's no how-to book out there.
No, there isn't. And so fortunately for me, was somewhere along the line, there is a handbook, an unwritten handbook written for women. And through all of those conversations and all of that time I spent studying women, I was able to download it. And so I now have the content. And so my hashtag is I Speak Woman. And my goal is to help women get in touch with themselves, figure out who they are, and recreate their lives to serve them and be fulfilling and rewarding the way it's always meant to be.
I love that. What is some of the common, when you said, you know, is this handbook up for all women? What are some of the common, what I want to say, lessons or rules or pitfalls, or what are some of the common things that you ran across that seem to be in every story?
Okay, so let's go with the just basics. People, you know, when I say men and women are different, and, you know, there's the big gasp and political correctness, and I don't, not better, not worse. Just we're wired differently. We have just different physiological. And it all goes from there. And we're going to stop that. So number one, how do we make decisions? If I were to compare the male and the female style of making decisions, they're absolutely diametrically opposed. The male style of making decisions, if you want to imagine an arrow. It's about 3 foot in length, has a little fletching here on the end and a sharp point at this end. At the fletching end, a man says, oh, I need a new pair of shoes. He evaluates the situation. Does he really need a new pair of shoes? And does he have the money to afford them? Yes, he does. He decides he's going to go buy a new pair of shoes, and whatever method he uses to buy his shoes, he buys the shoes, and it's just like shooting an arrow. You draw it back, you let it fly, and it hits the target.
And there are the shoes.
It's not a bullseye. And there are the shoes. Decision made. And they can, if it's not the right decision, they can pull another arrow out of their quiver and shoot it again and make another decision. But for women, it's very different. So I want you to imagine a little 4-inch by 4-inch cube box that when you take the top off of it, out comes this metallic cylindrical thing that as you pick it up, it starts to come apart. And then you can take it and kind of, now you're seeing the slinky in my hands, right? You see the coil of the wire. Well, here's the thing. That's the female decision-making style, is that slinky. I know things. I watch the History Channel. That slinky, when unwounds to 85 feet.
Uh-oh.
And if you take it and lay it on its side and kind of pull it out, you know, the one that was the dachshund and it had slinky in the middle.
Yep.
And you pull it all out and all you see are these. Yeah. And you see all the coils.
Yep.
That is the illustration of the female's decision-making process. First, we have to decide if we truly need to make a decision. You know, do we need to make a decision? So then we're going to evaluate all our options. And as we evaluate all our options, we have to look at everybody that decision impacts and everybody that might notice it and everybody that might think about it and everybody else that we might need to spend our money on because they need something from us. And then once we finally decide that we really do need that thing, then we have to evaluate what all our options are. And so we're going to go around calling all of our friends and checking every store in the mall and doing everything that we need to do to find out what our options are. Now we need to validate what are our best options. And so we're going to go through the validation process. And when we can finally find the right validation that this is what we need to do and it is this thing we're going to do, we make the decision. And it has to be the perfect decision. Because unlike the male decision where it can be easily remade, this thing takes a lot of trouble and we don't want to do it again. So we want to make the perfect decision because it affects everyone that we love around us. And if we didn't make the right decision, we're going to have to stand around and watch them struggle through it. So just that simple.
Wow.
How do I buy a pair of shoes? And I promise you, we use that, this thing, just to buy shoes. Now, a lot of women out there go, oh no, I can do the arrow decisions. Yes, we can. Because if we've worked in the corporate world or worked in the business world, that's all a male-based entity. And so the thought process that you use at work is the arrow process. And it works beautifully. But what happens when we get home from work, we walk in the door and one of our kids looks at us and says, Mommy, what are we having for dinner? Full-blown meltdown. I can make million-dollar decisions all day at work and I cannot decide what to cook for dinner without crying.
Because you're like, well, he doesn't like that and she doesn't like this and he likes that done a little bit differently mm-hmm. than how she likes it done. And so now how am I going to mm-hmm. make everybody happy?
Mm-hmm. And not have to cook 15 meals. Yeah. And every woman, when I get to that point where I say, and then somebody asks you what to cook for dinner, every woman knows what I'm talking about. It's that moment of WTF.
Uh-huh.
I can't deal with one more question. I can't deal with one more decision.
I get it.
And we don't, but we can do it all day at work. And it's that juxtaposition of that it's so easy to do what we do at work. And then we come home and it's not easy anymore.
That is amazing that you describe it like that, because now that I have that visual, I'll think of that every time I need to make a decision. I'll think about that slinky and all of those options in there. Mm-hmm. However, I've learned to shorten that up just a bit, because I get told mm-hmm. often that I'm a pretty fast decision maker. For mm-hmm. a female, but I do believe that it's learned, because if I do not have anyone with me and you just turn me loose in the store, I love actually going through that process. I love, like, am I going to like this pillow better than that pillow? Well, maybe this, but this pillow, because it has to be the perfect pillow.
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
And how is it when we buy the perfect pillow or pair of shoes every time, I end up with 200 pairs of shoes in my closet and still don't have a pair of shoes I want to wear? I don't know.
Yep. I get it. I get mm-hmm. it. I love that. I love that. So now as you go through and talk with all these gals, and again, we talk a lot about health and mm-hmm. wellness. Do you ever get into the physical part of it? Because a lot of times when they're going through divorces and they're trying to regenerate their ideas on what they want their life to be like. Is there any actual physical health that comes in there? Do you work with them on that area, or more just in the change how they think about things?
To me, we are only but one person. We are a mind and a soul all wrapped up in this physical body, and everything is interrelated. And so if I'm emotionally unhealthy, I'm going to be physically unhealthy. If I stop taking care of myself because I'm emotionally unhealthy and I'm trying to punish myself or don't feel I'm worthy or whatever the, you know, lie I'm telling myself today is, it will impact my physical health. One of the ways I can tell, you know, what's going on with your physical health. Well, you're not taking care of yourself. Well, why aren't you taking care of yourself? Well, it's all tied together. And when you can help someone understand that they are worthy of a good life and they are amazing just because they're here, you know, that old line, God, you know, I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk.
Each
and every one of us has a purpose here. And there's a plan that, you know, we can choose to embrace or create ourselves. Whether it's the emotional side or the physical side, whether it's that you need to lose weight or you're not sleeping well, or you do have health challenges, or you know, heaven forbid, we have a mental health crisis going on in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And too many people are even afraid to speak up And I have this conversation with my clients all the time. I'm not a doctor. I don't prescribe anything, and I do not diagnose anyone, nor do I judge them, because if there's a mistake to be made, I probably made it or thought about making it. So I'll give that caveat. So I don't judge anyone. But the reality is, so often we get into these conversations and I'm hearing all the buzzwords that would say to me, it's time for you to have a conversation with your doctor. And that's what I'll say is I'll say, hey, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I really think that this is a conversation you should go and have with your doctor. Tell him or her what you're telling
me. Yeah, that's a perfect answer. I love that. Now, do you follow more of a holistic way of eating and living? And I know you've got the horses and all of that. And of course, there's that whole spectrum, you know, and you've got the mm-hmm. folks that are totally on one end and folks that are, you know, eating McDonald's every day. Mm-hmm. So have you landed somewhere on that spectrum that works for you?
Yes, I've always been very health conscious.
Okay.
I come from a family where my grandmothers and my aunts took vitamins, ate healthy, were very outgoing. And my mother was the exact opposite and sat on the couch eating maple nut goodies and ice cream and way overweight and all that stuff. So I had the juxtaposition of lifestyle. And while I loved my mother dearly, I knew that I just respected my aunt so much more for being active and healthy and out and doing things. And I guess because of my horse proclivity, kind of forced me into staying active. And you know, here I am turning 62 this year and I still ride horses and work horses and do all that stuff. Thank you.
Yes.
But I feel amazing. I feel amazing. And it's a conscientious decision that my husband and I make that we met late in life. He was 55, I was 49. And, you know, we met a month after I finished writing my book because I had to write the ending and I couldn't write the ending up front. It took 8 years before you have to live the happy ending before you can write it. And I finally had lived it. And I wrote the last three chapters, which are laugh, live, and love. And a month later, I met my husband and we've been together ever since. And he's also very health conscious in that we grow our own garden. We, you know, I do cook at home most of the time. We do go out because, you know, sometimes restaurant food is really good.
I get it.
We're about balance. We're about balance. We take our medications as we should because we're not spring chickens, and we take our vitamins so that we stay healthy and we get plenty of exercise and we focus on it. Again, we're all one being.
Yes.
And if I don't take care of my body, then I let my emotional side and my head and my heart go. So it's all three together to me.
Well, of course the physical part feeds, you know, the mental part and the emotion. Mm-hmm. I think it all goes together. I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're all one. It all fits together. Mm-hmm. Did you have an aha moment as you were going through, you know, you were in these relationships, you were married, then you went through a divorce. And what was your aha moment? Was there a particular moment that you said, I need to do something different and I need to start writing these ideas down?
Yeah, it's, you know, when you have it all, and I mean, as they define it, I had the big job. I had, you know, the two beautiful cars. I had the barn full of horses. I had the house. I mean, I had it, girl, I had it. And I had shoes and I had suits and I had the nails and the hair and all this stuff. And anyone looking at me was like, wow, you've got it all. And in all honesty, I was blessed. And I was blessed to have the friends and family that I did that supported me and were around me. But the one thing that was important to me, that life partner, that mm-hmm. person that I could love and would love me, that was my expectation of my life, had never come to fruition.
Okay.
And when I finally got to the point where I said, you know what, I've been waiting for someone else. I've spent my whole life saying, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. And I've been waiting for someone else to make me happy. And I said, why don't I just wake up tomorrow morning and just be happy? And I did. and everything changed.
So if I hear you correctly, you are saying that being happy is a decision.
Mm-hmm. And it comes from in here. It comes from in here, and that you have to decide that you are enough reason to be happy. We wait for someone, anyone else in this world to bring us happiness. For the new car, the new house, the new horse, Lord knows, you don't want to know how many of those I bought, trying to be happy. Okay. I mean, at one point I had 14 horses.
Oh my goodness.
Crazy.
Wow.
Because the next one would make me happy. No. It's that simple saying, happiness is not about getting what you want. It's about wanting what you have.
I love that.
And that was my aha moment, was that, okay, so now I figured that part out. How do you untwist all the rest? All the faulty logic that's going on in the brain, all of the self-beating up and self-abuse that we do.
The stories that we tell ourselves. Yeah. Those stories.
And so I've spent the last 4 years dedicated to working on not only myself, but learning all of the things, and not all of, but as much as I can, and getting my hands on the materials and the philosophies and the ways to help people find what's right for them, and to help women learn to be women and be okay with being women, not better or worse. We're just us, and be what we are at work and be what we are at home, and know that we can find happiness and balance in both. And that is okay. But they're different.
Yes. Yes, absolutely different. Now, when you're coaching these gals, and so now you've been coaching since 2019, mm-hmm. Once the book mm-hmm. came out, and then you decided to coach women on this subject. As you're coaching the women, you see that there are other programs out there in the mm-hmm. industry. What makes you mad about the industry at large? What is it that you see out there where they're missing the boat? What is it that makes you mad about what some of these women are told?
What gets me, and which is why I don't consider myself a divorce coach anymore. There's people out there with certified divorce coach all over the place. And, you know, at first I tried reaching out and connecting with and all of this. And what I found out is there are a lot of people out there in the coaching space that went through a bad experience and it becomes their axe to grind. And so I'm going to help somebody else not go through that. But what it really becomes is their sounding board to tell their story over and over and over and over again.
Ah.
And that doesn't help anyone else. You know, in coaching is about helping other people find what's right for them.
It's about making it's about making them the hero of their story, and you're just the guy.
And, you know, like I said, if there's a mistake to be made, I've made it. I've thought about it. So, you know, when it comes down to, you know, helping illustrate what it looks like when you make the mistake, that I got in spades, whether it's from my story or my other coaches or whatever, to help them understand that as women, we have to know we're not alone. Mm-hmm. We're not the only woman that's ever made this mistake, had this thought, felt this way, and that we won't be the last. And that every woman that learns to listen to other women and validate, it doesn't mean fix, it doesn't mean answer, it doesn't mean judge, it just means validate. Yep, I felt that way too. You did? Yes, I did. Oh my gosh. And then it's on. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so it's about helping women find what's right for them. And so coaching is not about a platform for me to grind my axe or vent my frustration over what an idiot my ex was. I'm just lucky I had a couple of really idiotic exes. So I got good stories, you know? It's not a competition.
Oh,
I can use that. Mm-hmm. I can use that to help other women.
Yeah. And it's again, it does help them know that, you know, I'm not the only, and I think a lot of times we feel like we're all alone. Like we're the only one that this is happening to. No one else is going mm-hmm. through this. And I think it does help when we realize that we're not the only ones that have felt the way we feel. And and just sorting that out and what that means, you know, what our feelings actually mean. And I think that's huge. So if that kind of makes you mad about your industry, what breaks your heart about your industry?
What breaks my heart about the industry is that you can go to a therapist or a psychiatrist and your insurance company will pay for it. But most of us don't need a diagnosis and we're not horribly broken. We're dented, maybe a little bit cracked. I got that. Okay. Especially if you're going through a divorce or a breakup. But what we really need is that validation and skills. We need the skills to help ourselves, to pick ourselves back up, to be able to look at ourselves objectively and say, okay, so I messed up. All right. I did. I'm human. Mm-hmm. I did the best I could with what I had at the time. Would I make that same mistake again? No. Okay. Then I can let it go. Our dog, if we come home from work and they've crapped on the floor, we know there's no point in doing anything about it because they have since long forgotten. Mm-hmm. Okay. If we catch them in the act, you know, we got the drill, but there's nothing you can do, right? So our dog only pays once for that little mistake. Why can I dredge up what I did wrong in seventh grade that hurt somebody else's feelings and how embarrassed I was and have myself in tears 100 times? And I'm 62.
You know, isn't that the truth? Don't we do that? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's about learning to make peace with your past. It's your past. It's gone. You can't fix, you can't change. You can just make peace with it. Then you figure out where you are. And then you learn where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And then the plan gets created and off you go. But it has to start with making that peace with your past and learning that you are human and that we're going to make mistakes. And, you know, it doesn't mean you did it intentionally, as long as you did the best you could. And you learn from it.
So if you had to sum up just an overarching message on what it is that you do, how do you describe mm-hmm. yourself? What is that overarching message that you want to get out there to the world?
What I want to get out there to the world is that as women, if we truly embrace who we are, who we were born to be, what we love, what we want. Why is it so hard for us as women to say what we want? It's hard. You know, it's hard. It shouldn't be. And when you learn that it is okay to want what you want and not what you don't want and express that, everything does begin to change. And I think what's different about what I do, and I catch flack from all the coaches, they're like, you can't do that. And I'm like, but it's what I want to do. So I do. I do a 6-month program with my clients and we talk twice a week. And unlike when you go to the therapist or the psychiatrist and all of that good stuff, which, you know, your insurance pays for and they're not going to pay for your coach. So that is my pet peeve when you ask what my beef was. It's that beef that, you know, as coaches, we have a mental health crisis going on in the world and insurance doesn't even consider us anything. And we can't help people. We can help mm-hmm. people if our heart's mm-hmm. in the right place and we've got the skills. We've got to have the skills. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when a woman is in that crux of having lost herself and trying to find herself, whether it's she wants to date but hasn't been successful, whether she's in her marriage but isn't satisfied and wants to try and figure out what she should do. Should she stay? Should she go? What's to be done there? Whether she's getting out of a marriage and trying to decide how to proceed forward, or whether it's 5 years after a divorce and she still can't get out of her jammies and off the couch.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. Okay. That's an intensive process and it has to be done the way women do it. And that is talking, lots and lots of talking, lots and lots of sharing, lots and lots of sharing that journey with someone
that understands,
that loves you. That understands and that loves you. Because most of my clients, you know, and I don't take a client that I can't love. And I know that sounds crazy, but you know, love is infinite. We have an unlimited quantity of love. We can love as many people as we choose to. And I think that's one of the fallacy of most people is they don't realize that. There's no shortage of love. You just keep throwing it out there. Just keep loving people. And so I find the things about each one of my clients that I can love. And they're not used to someone saying, I love you. They're not used to hearing that, getting them used to the fact that people do love them and they are lovable. And giving them that space where they can share and open up, not in a judgmental way, just in a learning way, and continue to inch by inch by inch, move their lives forward and move themselves forward. So that when they're done, they have a plan, they have a place, they have a purpose, they have a passion. And isn't that when life is fun?
Wow. Yeah. I want to live next to you. So what is this? You say you go for about 6 months. So describe what a program might look like so that our listeners that are listening in have an idea of exactly how you do what you do. We now know what it is that you do, but how do you go about it? What does this 6 months look like?
I divide it roughly into three two-month sections. The first 2 months are, you know, making peace with the past. The second 2 months are, you know, where are you now and what do you want? And then the last two are getting the plan together to get there. I use a lot of different resources and it depends on the person and what they need. But, you know, it's if you haven't done your five love languages, you're going to do it by the time we're done. Discover your strengths, the Gallup's Discover Your Strengths profile. We do that because I believe we should be working from our strengths, not from our deficits. I've got, you know, the four agreements that we work through. I've got this whole line of books up here. And then depending on, I've got a compassion project. I've got Rewire for Wealth. I even got the Dalai Lama's Book of Joy up here. And depending on what they're working on, I'll pull the correct resource and work through them with it. So sometimes we may, you know, if they don't want to read the book and a lot of people don't have time, I've read them all. I give them the, you know, what was the little Cliff Notes version we used to do in college? You know,
I run them through.
I have my own Cliff Notes versions of all the different resources that I use. So I have that. We'll do the first session, you know, once we get to know each other, the first couple of weeks, literally we spend with the client telling me her life story.
And I think
that takes some time.
Yeah, I think that's so important for her to get that out there because one of the pieces, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the pieces is feeling understood.
And so then I take their story, I ask questions, I pick it apart, you know, not in a pick apart way, but just to understand. And then I tell it back to them as an outside observer, because they're telling their story as a 6-year-old felt it, as a 14-year-old felt it. And we all know that's never good. You know, as a 20-year-old, as a 30-year-old. And I can step out of it as a grandmother, as a mother, as a woman, and look at their story and maybe tell it back to them in a little kinder and gentler way. And then I do a guided meditation with them where I introduce them to their higher self. That becomes their source for wisdom and their resource.
That.
And this was I learned it from my grandmother, believe it or not. I asked her one time, what should I do? And she said, I don't know. I can't tell you what to do. But when I have to make a big decision, I picture myself 90 years old, sitting in my rocking chair on my front porch. And I ask myself, what would I wish I had done?
Interesting. That's a very interesting system to use. I love that.
So I have expanded on it a little bit, but help them understand that the wisdom's all there and making decisions from their heart is all there. And I teach them how to do that because before they can do anything else, they have to get in touch with themselves. And then we start in depending on where they are. You know, if they're actually going through a divorce, we're going to have the legal stuff to do as well. You know, helping them find an attorney. You know, making a listing of their assets and those kind of things so that when it comes time to make decisions, they've already thought through what their decisions are going to be and what's right for them. And a lot of it is just mindset work realizing that all these things that went wrong in the past were not their fault. They didn't know any better, so therefore they're absolved. Now let's keep going and pick yourself up. A lot of different skills and you know, how women think and how men think and how to understand that differential. If you put 50 men in a room and 50 women in a room and you ask the question, you know, what's more important, respect or love? 48 men will raise their hand on respect and 48 women will raise their hand on love. You know, fundamental differences.
That's a huge aha, actually. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I imagine for a lot of your women, it's a huge aha to, because again, they're wondering why the husband doesn't understand them. You know, they're not understood.
And it's amazing. There's a lot of men that it's a huge aha too, mm-hmm. because they're respect driven. And you know, what is that one, the most insulting thing that we say to a man that we hurl out as we're walking out the door? Well, I can't love you anymore because I've lost all respect for you. I mean, every woman says it. You know, I've lost all respect for you. But yet, throughout the entire course of our relationship, we've never focused 1 minute on respecting him. We just loved him. We loved him. And we tried to love him into loving us back. But we never expected respect from him, nor did we expect or realize we should have shown him some. And so it's... there's all those cool little things that when you figure out, and I've raised 2 sons. My father was a 6'5" military officer. So I think that counts as 2 fathers. And I've had 2 ex-husbands and now I have the love of my life. And I will tell you that in working with men and having them in your lives, you have to pick a man that you can respect. That's number one. If you can't respect him going in the door, you're not going to respect him going out it.
Wow, that is an important lesson, I think, for all women to know. How has your faith helped in your journey at all?
Without faith, there is nothing. I was raised in the church, growing up, going to church all the time growing up. I was the youth group leader. My senior year in high school, I was the youth group president, and I was a public speaker throughout my corporate career. My first public speaking engagement was giving the church and the sermon in our church one Sunday.
Well, so I know before we started recording, you said that you wanted to be a public speaker. And then of course, once COVID swept through across the country, mm-hmm. everything kind of came to a halt. And then you found yourself where you are now. Do you think you'll go back to trying to have a stage presence and put together some sort of a schedule of speaking gigs?
You know, if someone called me and said, we need you to come speak, I'd go, of course, because I love it. I love it. You know, the whole point is having your own content, having content. And when I worked for companies, it was always the company's content. Now it's my content. I'm actually working on my next book right now, which is really exciting for me.
That was going to be my next question. I was going to ask, what are you currently working on?
Marriage 101, Everything You Should Know, But Probably Don't. You know, you help people through divorce a whole lot. You start seeing what went wrong. And then you start questioning people about that have these amazing relationships about what went right. And so I'm going to write the book from the vantage point as if I am a matchmaker, introducing these couples. And okay. What are the fundamentals that I look for when I introduce couples and then tell their stories. And so there'll be real life couples that I didn't really introduce, but they're real stories.
So when do you anticipate this book being published?
It's going to be 2024.
Okay.
It's written. It's in the process of being put together.
Okay. Okay. So you say it is written, but now you're actually putting it together in a book format. I get it. Mm-hmm. I got published for the first time in September of last year. And so I get it. There's mm-hmm. a lot of parts and pieces that go into actually getting that book ready mm-hmm. to publish. So I get that. How can all of our listeners get in touch with you if they want to know more?
The best place to find me is either on Facebook or LinkedIn. And it's Allison, A-L-L, there's 2 L's, I-S-O-N, Jeffries, J-E-F-F-E-R-E-Y-S. Nobody else spells it that way, so you can always find me. And I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook pretty much every day.
I love that.
To my website. My website is www.isurvived.info. Or you can just email me at allisonjeffries@gmail.com.
Very good. Now, give me your actual website one more time, because when I actually upload this for a replay, mm-hmm. I will put your website there. So what is your website one more time?
www.isurvived.info.
Very good. I will actually include that when I upload our recording today. So I really appreciate you being on. This has been so enlightening. I love the conversation. I wish I lived closer. I love the horses. And you're just so charming to talk to. So thank you so much for agreeing to be on with us. We're going to be putting this out on our podcast. We'll also put it on our platform for our free meetups, because we have folks that come in and listen, after the fact, and listen to all of our free meetups. And I will send you all of the links so that you can use any part or piece of this interview. If it works for you to use on any of your platforms, you're welcome to do so.
All right, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Any questions? I know we still have Robin in the audience. Robin, did you have any questions or comments at all for Allison? Robin did comment early on when you were talking about the reason for being worthy. She said she really liked your comment that you made early on in the interview. And she said no questions. She's just taking it all in, absorbing it all. So Robin, thank you so much for being with us. And again, I will upload this into our platform so that you can come back. Robin says, great webinar. Thanks so much. And you can come back and listen to it anytime. And I will send again all the links over to you, Allison. And thank you so much for being with us tonight.
And thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye, everyone.